Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Okay, we were talking about Starbucks, Mary.
Yes, we were. And like you, I mean, I know that sometimes they get a bad rap, but it's like an ideal place for somebody who's looking for a part-time job, and they get benefits. They get educational benefits and insurance. And you know, plus, I came up through the food and beverage world. So I think that everyone should spend some time working in a restaurant or retail.
I did retail. Okay. I love the retail. You got the experience. You got the customer service.
That's it. You got problem solving, and you have to learn how to think on your feet. And so my years in the restaurant world, I think, prepared me for everything I've done since then.
You've done some amazing things, like being here on the edge with me and my brains.
All right.
Brains, that right there, that is Mary Nunley. Okay. She's in Tennessee, and I love her. She is, let me get this right. Okay. This is $25 title. It's called, they are professional instructional designers. That means course creators. How many of you are out there looking to create the perfect course to engage people in your product or service, to make them sit through the entire process, for them to find value, not what you perceive as the value, but what people need right now? Employment and course creation and coaching has changed. It's completely pivoted since 2019. Everybody's doing stuff online. So you got to have a top-notch team that knows what they're doing, that is innovative, that is creative, that's fun, that's exciting. Because, you know, I've been on some of these courses, and the first 5 minutes is like, this is a Debbie Downer. Do I really want to be bothered with that? So, you know what? Mary is going to teach us a little bit about that, what we need to do, what we need to implement. So thank you so much for being here on the edge with me and my brains. Here's to you, Mary Nunley.
Well, thank you, Miss Brain herself, April. Here we go. It's there. We're there.
I'm a little fake. I know. We're there. Cheers.
We're there. We can see it. Yeah, there. Oh, there we go. The joys of green screens. It kind of fades out the other stuff.
I know. So tell my brains a little bit about you and where it all began, and why in the world did you want to invest time in creating courses?
Sure. So really brief history. I got my first job started in the food world. I worked at McDonald's as a 16-year-old, as so many kids have done, and adults. But my dad said, go get a job. And then 6 years later, I was still working at McDonald's. And then it went from go get a job to when are you going to get a real job? And my argument was, this is a real job. I was managing as a shift manager and working my way through college. From there, I went to the hotel world and managed all types of restaurants, bars, dish rooms, you name it. I did it on the food and beverage side. And then I moved into the training side. And so for the most of my career, I've always been involved in training, adult learning. I switched and I moved to Nashville, worked at Opryland Hotel, opened a restaurant there, worked in the training department. From there, I went to college and taught at a community college for 15 years. And I helped faculty create their courses. So when the world was just starting to move to online, I was at that bleeding edge. And so how do you make it engaging? It's more than just creating a video with you talking about your PowerPoint. And so that's really been who I am ever since. I'm a gamer. I like playing games. In the last few years, you know, the words gamification have come out as more common language, which is really taking game elements and applying it to business or learning. And so we work with our clients to make more engaging courses by taking some of those game elements and those strategies. So you're not just sitting there, like you said, Miss Brain yourself, logged into the course. It's like, okay, this is a snooze fast. We used to call those the click next to continue courses. Nobody walks away learning anything. It's just like, can I fast forward? Can I go? You know, and we often think that we know everything and that we are like the most engaging people. But when you talk to your audience, it looks like, no, you're boring me. Why can I just, you know, just tell me what I need to know. So we help people make better courses.
Well, I love this, you know, that you have really come up through the ranks. I had a cousin one time and family gave him a hard time because he worked for Blockbuster. Remember Blockbuster?
Oh, yes.
And he worked his way through college. He ended up being a big wig in human resources. And now he's the vice president of a healthcare company. But the family says, oh, you know, he's going to Howard University. All he's doing is working at the Blockbuster. Some of my niece, she started at In-N-Out Burger. And oh, my God, she is like killing it right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so many people don't give it enough weight. For some people, it is just a job. And there are other people, we just fall in love with the industry, even though I'm not working in food and beverage any longer. A lot of our clients are related to the food and beverage industry, but it affects our lives every day. We all have to eat.
Every day. The training, again, like I said, the customer service, yes. The shift work, it's standing on your feet is demanding.
Yes. Oh, gosh, yes. You know, and
again, you learn the supply chain.
Yep. And you learn problem solving.
Problem solving is wonderful. So you do all of this for people that have courses.
That is correct.
Now, what does it take to create a good online course? You know, now I like the element, you know, that you have the spin on it that, okay, let's break and let's play a game or let's do this. Or let's do that. That's very innovative. But what are like two or three key elements that people must have in a good online course?
That's a great question. So the first thing I would say is clearly defined objectives so that both you and your students know what to expect from the course. So when I'm signing up for the course, and it doesn't necessarily have to be like a corporate slide that says, at the end of this training, you will know how to tie your shoe, button your shirt, but you need to present that in such a way that when you're, whether it's in your sales materials, when you're planning the course, what are you going to get from this? And we always go back to food, as you probably figured out. Mm-hmm. So if I sign up for a course on how to make lasagna, okay, I've never cooked before. I have no clue how to make lasagna. So course creator number one's like, here's what you're going to learn. You're going to learn how to pick out the best noodles. You're going to learn what sauce you need. You're going to know what cheeses you need. You're going to know how, you're going to learn how to put it all together. And as a beginning cook, that might be all I need. I know what I'm going to get in the course. And at the end of the course, I should be able to make lasagna. Chef number two is like, I'm going to do everything that chef number one says. And I'm also going to teach you some tricks to speed up the process. So if I'm an intermediate cook, maybe I've made lasagna a few times and it's not worked for me, that course might be the one I want because I want those extra tricks. Chef number three is like, I'm assuming you already know how to make lasagna. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a deep dive into how the pasta is made and the best kind of tomatoes for the tomato sauce. And well, if I'm a beginner cook, there's no way I'm taking that, but I know up front what the objectives are and what I'm going to learn. So I can make a decision that's best for me. But then as the course creator, you have to deliver on that. So if I say you're going to learn the basics and I spend all my time teaching you about how to pick tomatoes, you're going to have a frustrated audience. So right. That's my first thing. The second thing is really simple. If you're going to have them watch a video, immediately give your audience something to do after they finish watching the video. They may or may not do it, but you want them to just be more than a passive learner. So it's like, all right, now what I want you to do is we're going to talk about all the ingredients. Now go take an inventory of your pantry. What ingredients do you still need to go buy?
So, you know, and it's much like giving a presentation because I'm a, you know, expert orator. I've been trained for a long time, but you have to introduce the subject, educate the subject, and then recap the subject.
Yes. And then in an online course, give them something specific to do that goes along with each of those actions, because otherwise you've just got passive audience and they're not taking any action and then they don't finish the course.
And you have clear expectations from the onset.
Yes.
Of what to expect. So now you can already get your posture ready. You know,
exactly.
Sit up straight and know that, hey, this is going to be 20 minutes, 30 minutes. You know, this is what we're going to learn in that. That's brilliant. I like that up front. And I like how, you know, at each particular segment or interval, you stop. There's a learning exercise because that reiterates what you just taught. You know, that makes sure that people gets it. And if they don't get it, it gives them time to, okay, well, let me settle in. Let me ask my questions. Another thing in giving presentations or online courses is always leave room for Q&A, brains.
Yes.
Questions and answers. You know, yes. Always ask your audience for what? Because number one, that's very valuable to you. That helps you step up your game. You know what people are wanting. And also, not just one person in your audience has that question.
Exactly. And so taking it to that online world, depending on how you're distributing your courses, you may have the ability to have a built-in discussion on your course platform. You may have a Facebook group. You may decide to do a monthly or weekly live Zoom call or something with your paid audience members. But then here's the part that's really cool. After you've done this a few times, you can then create an FAQ for your course that includes either print or video snippets of, you know, here's this, you know, I've been running this course now for 6 months. Here's the 10 most common questions that I receive from my students. Go check out those FAQs. And then if you still have a question, post it and we'll go through it. Not that you're discouraging questions, but it also makes that person with the question feel like, oh, maybe I'm not such a, excuse the language, dummy after all, because my question was in one of these top 10. So, wow, I'm not the only one that doesn't know that, you know, if I use no-bake lasagna noodles instead of boiling them, I'm going to have an easier time making my lasagna.
Brian, you need to get with her in case you have an online cookbook because she's got that. Okay? But also, you know, a beta group.
Yes.
The importance of having a beta group. Oh, I've got an online course and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Run it through 5 or 10 people. Go to these online places like SurveyMonkey and get a free survey. Get the feedback. There's your testimonials right there.
Yes.
You want to post those testimonials to the back end of your video, to the front end of your video. Again, part of that expectation. People will know what to expect. They'll know what the experience has been for other individuals, which is key.
Yes. Well, I was going to say, along with that beta group too, this is where you don't have to do the final product of your content. It could just be live Zoom and you can get feedback going, okay, here's the slides I think I was going to use, or here's the graphics. Did this work for you? Was it too much? Was it overwhelming? So instead of investing a lot of time building what you think is the finished product, you've got a prototype, you're getting feedback, then you go back, reiterate, do it again. Maybe run a second beta group, charge them a little bit more, close to finish, and then
beta group. You got to pay for your investment of creating the course.
Right, but give them a deep discount the first time. Then the second time you run it, find a different group of people. It's closer to finished, and then spend the time doing your finished polished recordings and stuff.
Okay, and make it, again, fun and interactive. Now, I know it's different. Online courses are, you know, they're a must. Again, the beta group is a must. Making it interactive, but also charging for that. You know, don't be afraid to make the ads, brains. People will pay for information. They pay for books. They pay for online courses. They pay for downloadable books. They pay to be on podcasts. They pay for videos. All of that, there is value. So don't devalue yourself as the person and thinking, oh, well, let me just go ahead and let these people test it for free. You got to cover your costs. You got to cover your expenses. Right. Now, I know that it is a wide range and it's very broad, but what would something like this cost? I've never done an online course. I mean, you know, and then maybe on an average, how long should they be? Because people's time and their attention span is, you know, is valuable. And so what do you think? What do you recommend?
So this is going to be one of those unanswered answers. It's going to depend on the subject that you're teaching. A good online course, though, is usually between 1 to 3 hours, especially when you're first getting started. And TechSmith, who is an industry leader in terms of video editing software and videos, consistently puts out updates like, what's the ideal length of a video? And what they have found is, depending on the content, if you're doing a video heavy course, somewhere between 3 and 15 minutes is the best length for your videos to keep your audience's attention. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't go longer. You probably don't want to go shorter, But that gives you enough time to do your topic, get the knowledge out, give a recap, then give an activity. So in a 1 hour course, you may have anywhere from 3 to 10 videos along with some activities, because otherwise your audience is just going to, again, kind of zone out. It's like watching a TV show. Even TV shows have commercial breaks.
Right.
And places for you to pause. And it's not just listening to one person talking. Even a news show, notice that they, here's the sports, here's the weather, here's the news. Let's bring this guest in. So it's not just one person talking at you for 45 minutes. It's many people with different perspectives.
Right, right, right. And that makes it, easier to adjust, because there's different voice inflections.
Yes.
People are animated in different kinds of ways. Their content is different. It keeps you engaged.
Yes.
It's like a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah.
Some meetings, and I'm like, baby, we don't need 50 slides.
Exactly. Well, and then the other part, and there's recent research that I've been reading on multimedia and what ways adults learn best. And so many people feel like, oh, I have to be that little talking head at the bottom while I'm narrating my PowerPoint slides. And that's really one of the least effective things. So what I encourage our course creators to do is start each lesson off with you, kind of like what we're doing now, front and center on the video, mm-hmm. introducing the topic, but then focus more on visuals on the slide that you narrate without your face at the bottom of the screen, because most people find that very distracting.
Which
is also good if you're afraid of being on video or hesitant about being on video, because now it's just your voice.
Right. And voice carries a lot of weight.
It does.
Again, price point. Again, so, it varies. It just depends on what industry, what you need. But, people are looking and say, I want to create an online course, but, I have no idea.
Right. So if you want to do it all yourself, things that you want to think about are the cost of your learning management system. So whether it's Kajabi, Thinkific, Teachable, there's going to be a monthly or annual fee to host your content. Then you're going to need some type of video editing software, or hire somebody to do the video for you. I personally like to use TechSmith Camtasia. It's very easy to use, and it's reasonably priced, but there's also a lot of free video editing software. If you're on a Mac, iMovie is a great place to start. If you're going to hire an outside video editor, if you're hiring somebody in the States, you're probably looking at anywhere from $50 to $125 per hour to have them edit your video for you. If you're looking outside of the States, the rates are going to be different, but you can go to places like Upwork or Fiverr to get a sense of what it's going to cost. And then what I recommend is spending your time up front, really planning out your course, writing down what you're going to have in the course, what assets do you need. There's no dollar amount attached to that. It's just your time. And if you're organized, you can build a course in a matter of weeks. If you're distracted, and it's like, oh, I need to go look for this. Oh, I need to. It could take you months to build a course.
I'm thinking about maybe building a podcast course.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, because everybody wants to podcast, but baby, everybody can't do it. And I say that with love.
Yes. No, it's true.
With anything, you need to be consistent. You need to be clear. You need to be courteous. You need to be aware of your customers' needs. You need to be time sensitive.
Yes.
And you need to be innovative and go in and change your stuff.
Right.
It's like on your website, occasionally. I'm one to talk because I need to do mine right now.
So do I, but yes. But so don't be afraid.
Right. You need to go in and have a fresh approach. Do some little mini clips. Do a lot of advertising. Brains, and people say, in my marketing, do you really know how to market your product?
Right.
The key to marketing is visibility.
That's
it. If people don't know that you exist, it's a mute point. You can have all the courses you want. You can have the best website. You can have the best tchotchkes, whatever. But if people do not know that you exist, and you have to get out there. And again, that's, visually, that's audibly, that's interactive. Do you and your son create games as well?
We do. So we use a variety of softwares that allow us to build games. And you can build games in something as simple as a Google Sheet.
Really?
And create an escape game in a Google Sheet. We use software that allows us to create more interactive, so it's more like a video game experience. It's of course not a video game in the sense of, like, you know, most of our clients do not have six-figure budgets to build a video game-like environment, but we can do a lot of fun games for people that you can then run on your website, that you can run on some of the learning management systems that really bring that knowledge to life.
It brings it to life, and it also brings attention to your website or your platform, because people are like, oh, did you see this cool game?
That's it.
I invested in the stock market on some of these online games. What was that? Like that candy?
Candy Crush. And
I couldn't believe it was penny stocks when I started. And it went through the roof.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is so we can help people build those games. We also do animated videos. So, you know, you've probably seen those ads for, you know, the explainer videos or the cartoon style, but we do those so that you can bring, again, a little bit of life. So if you don't want to be on the screen, we can build an animation for you, and then you could just do the voice work.
I love the animation, how they draw it out, and it keeps me excited, and they're quick and they're slick.
That's it. And the key is all about thinking it through, like, what are the key points? And so I guess the last part of my question of about the online course, think of your content in three buckets. So as you're thinking about your podcast course, we like to tell our clients, think of your content in one of three buckets. And I demonstrated that with the lasagna. Bucket number one, what is the thing that your students absolutely have to know? That's what goes into your course. Bucket number two, what's nice to know, but not absolutely necessary. That was our second chef with the tricks. Bucket number three is everything you want to share with your audience based on your years of experience and wisdom, but it's probably going to overwhelm your first-time students because it's over their head. And that's where most course creators live, is they want to live in bucket three, but they need to move to bucket one to be successful.
Okay. All right. That's good, because everybody, what types of businesses do you recommend should have an online course? And I know that, again, that's another big broad question, but every business doesn't need an online course.
Right. And it depends on what your objectives are. So every business that has employees may want some online courses to onboard their employees. Because it makes it easier. And that way, if you hire one person this week and one person next week, they don't have to wait for weeks or months to go through an orientation. Mm-hmm. You may also, as a smaller business, want to create a mini course that you don't sell to the public, but you use to onboard your clients. So here's what it's like to work with us. Here's the forms you need to fill out. Here's the information we need. And that way, instead of spending time, and not that I don't want to spend time, but I want to spend time on the deep, rich work. And if I have a little course that onboards you to, you know, here's how we share documents, here's what our process is, then you can do that with your clients. In terms of, like, courses for the general public, while anybody can create a course, what I recommend is going out and talking to your prospective audience to see if there's a need for it. Because so many people are like, oh, I want to do a course about this because I love it. It's like, great. But if you don't have an audience, then you're really spending time and money on something that's just going to sit there. So do your market research first and find out what your audience needs. And then also, you validate your idea along the way. So if I think I need to teach a class on lasagna making for vegetarians and everyone in my audience is meat eaters, well, then my vegetarian lasagna course is probably not going to do very well with my audience.
Right. You said that these programs that you were talking about, they house it. So they have a server that houses your program. So that's great. That takes a lot of the guesswork off of it. Do they write it in certain codes?
So most of these platforms are designed to be very user-friendly. Some of them will allow you to go in and tinker with the code if you want to. But most of these bigger platforms that are designed for solo course creators or small businesses are really just a drag and drop, plug and play kind of things. It's like, I'm going to upload my video. I'm going to upload my PDF. I'm going to upload my game. And then you can still go in and tinker for the look and feel of your site. It's like a website, but the actual getting your content in becomes very easy.
Brains, see, everything that you needed to know. except for the scavenger hunt. Let's talk a little bit about that. Brains, when I first met Mary, we were talking, and she was in the middle of preparing for a scavenger hunt. I've done scavenger hunts, but I was excited about this one because you have people that are all over the country, even all over the world, looking for stuff.
That is correct. Come up
with that and tell me the premise behind that.
So I am a team leader for this scavenger hunt. It's called GISH, the Greatest Internet Scavenger Hunt. It's been going on for about 10 years now, and I've played for 10 years, and it is designed to do community service, to tap your creativity, and to just have fun. So some of the things that we had to do this year, for example, was to create a petting zoo out of dryer lint.
A petting zoo out of dryer lint?
Yes. So we had to make all of our petting zoo animals out of dryer lint. So Facebook, I was posting things like, hey, I need some dryer lint. So people were mailing me dryer lint from around the country. Another thing that we had to do was toe twiddling. So instead of twiddling your thumbs, you had to twiddle your toes and do a video of it. Let's see. So we also had to solve puzzles. And then once you decoded the puzzle, you found out what the task was. So one of them was about a radish festival that takes place in Mexico. You had to unscramble all of the clues to get the clue for what you had to make. And it was to carve an image of Jared Padalecki onto a radish.
Wow.
There's about 250 items. Our team finished about 75. And considering that we were all working full time during the week of the scavenger hunt, I thought that was really, really good for our team.
It was good. It was good. But there's a back story to that. You're also raising money.
That is correct. So every year, the scavenger hunt raises money for different organizations. This year, it was raising money for LGBTQ teens. And then we also do a pop-up scavenger hunt fundraiser. And this year it was for an organization called Emergency in Afghanistan to raise money for children who have been victims of the wars that are taking place there, that have lost limbs, et cetera. And each child has their medical care paid for and receives a stuffed animal. And so collectively we raised over $250,000 in 3 days.
In 3 days, Brian.
In 3 days.
Okay. Now you course correct that.
That's it. Yeah. So, and the way it's set up is that each team is asked to collect 10 $10 donations. Now, obviously some people give more, but it makes it doable for folks that want to contribute that don't necessarily have a lot of funds. But we've raised money to build houses for homeless veterans. We've raised money to fund a dance school in Africa because the lady who created it was dying, and she was afraid that the girls that were coming to this dance school would then not have access. So that was a few years ago. We raised, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars for that. So every year it's something different.
You are doing amazing work. Amazing work. Bravo. Bravo. This is a woman leader. This is an innovator. This is a change agent. You know, she's not just working, she's being impactful. And that's what I want you to do, Brains. You know, slow down. You don't have to do everything like yesterday. Take your time. Really look at your business. What do you need? What are the needs of your customer? What are the needs of your client? How can you best document that, record that, teach it, influence it? You know, how do you have that resource? Because a lot of times, you know, you can save yourself a whole lot of trouble if you can refer them to a powerful platform that houses it. Mary, I want them to work with you.
All right.
And she gave you some tips, Brains, on how you can do it yourself. But if you are at that level, or if you want that level of excellence, then you work with a company, a coach, a team. That's very important. That's an investment in your business. That's an investment in you. Not an investment in Mary, because she already knows how to do it. Okay? And flip a burger at the same time. But really, you know, and this is great too for nonprofit organizations, I believe, because you're always looking to raise money.
Yes.
So you can have something that is interactive that people can, again, make a small donation to participate in. You can raise money. You can deliver your message. You can stay visual. You know, there's a lot of opportunities here. Brains, please listen to Mary, how to get in contact with her.
Sure. So the easiest way to get in contact with me is either via email, which is marynunley@lavenderdragonteam.com, or just find me on LinkedIn or Facebook, Mary Nunley.
Mary Nunley is the business, and thank you so much for being here on The Edge, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. I'm loving that hair. Is it purple today?
It is purple.
Wrong with yourself, queen.
Hey, Lavender Dragon, purple hair. What can
That's
I say?
Right. That's what we do here on The Edge. Brains, I need you to go in and subscribe. Go follow Mary. Check it out. Again, it doesn't hurt you to spend 15, 20 minutes of your time getting the quality and the information that you need. And I need you to go to subscribe to LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Blog Talk, so that I can continue to provide you the information that you need. Thank you so much, Mary. You're amazing.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Yep. Smart girls rule, Brains.
That's right. I love it.